But what I find really, really funny is that like she's going off on this adventure, right? Forge is dying. Forge is back in the cave dying. Storm's going off. She's riding with the horses, flying with them. She flew
Yes.
out into space. Forge is dead back there,
Like,
okay, girl?
okay, he is comatose, baby, and you're sitting here flying with horses, like having a good giggle. Like, and although I love that for you, but as she got home, I was like, oh dang, it's nighttime, and you just gave him that medicine. That's crazy. Like, you really had you a good little like time. Like after that, like I bet she forgot. She's like, oh shit, and then like flew back. Like, oh wait,
Really forgot.
hey,
Like, bro
right,
was dying over there. Like, not that
right.
you just spent like months with this man and fell in love with
Your
him.
man is dead, baby. Like, it's over.
Oh, we are back with another episode of the X-Men 97 After Show. It's that show brought to you by The Keeg, where we talk about the new sequel series to the old X-Men cartoon that was like in the 90s. This is now the new one, X-Men 97 on Disney Plus, picking up where the old series left off. I'm your host, Mitra Pereira. We also got co-host Aaron Rhodes, aka King Krakoa. Aaron, what's up, man?
It is going quite well. It is going quite well. It's a beautiful day out here. It's getting a little chilly out again and after being hot. So I'm enjoying the day and I hope everybody else is enjoying it as well.
Weather is weird. And I think
A
it's
little bit.
because, you know, I don't want to blame it on Storm. Storm is only a good thing. So if it's good weather,
She may
it's
have
because
been
of
in a
Storm.
mood, but you know, she always makes it right.
She deserves it, you know? The
You
queen
know, right.
deserves
She
some, you
deserves
know,
a weather moment.
deserves a bad day, a bad weather day, you know?
Exactly.
That's fine. Storm is my queen, but for our guest today, dare I assume that she has a different queen? I'm not quite sure. We got Stefania Sassano, aka Rogue enthusiast, cosplayer
Enthusiast.
extraordinaire.
Yeah, enthusiast. I've
Love it.
never been called a rogue enthusiast
You're a
before.
rogue. It also sounds like you're an enthusiast that's gone off the rails. Like you're a rogue
Yeah,
enthusiast.
like
Like
pretty much.
who can keep her? Who can keep
I
her in
am her, she
check?
is me.
She is pure chaos. She is a rogue enthusiast, you know?
Honestly, can go both ways. Can
Yeah.
mean rogue like the X-Men character, or like rogue like I'm going insane right now
Yeah,
and
it
it's
just
crazy.
works. It works both ways. Yeah,
It
you're
really
right.
does. Is
Rogue your queen?
Of course, she's my queen. She's the queen of hearts because she's Gambit's queen of hearts.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, unfortunately, episode 5 kind of ruined that.
Yeah,
We're not here to talk about episode 5.
I mean, we could
R.I.P.
touch on episode 5, but we did have an episode that we did on episode 5, so it is what it is. The thing about this show, though, and I mean, even the X-Men show in the 90s is like each episode, although sometimes each episode was like a standalone episode, a lot of the X-Men episodes build on each other, right? And they tell multi-episode stories.
Right.
You were a fan of the X-Men cartoon. I know we've talked about it before.
Yeah, I actually got introduced to the cartoon during COVID. So X-Men was kind of like a lifesaver for me during COVID because I went through a lot and I worked my ass off all through COVID and like literally 6 days a week of work at a bakery, and it was just insane because we didn't have much staff because of COVID. People didn't want to work and stuff. So like being away
Right.
from school and friends really like took a toll on me. So then I binge watched a lot of stuff. One of them was X-Men, and they kind of like got me out of this zone, this little funk that I was in. So I'm pretty grateful for that for them.
That's
I love
interesting
that.
because like the X-Men cartoon is, you know, it's fairly old, right? 1992 is when it started and it ended in 97, and that's when this X-Men 97 starts. Was it not outdated for you? Like, did you feel like it was like an old series?
No, I mean, like, there's some cheesy moments where you're like, this is so 90s, but like a
Yeah.
lot of the shows that I grew up
Yeah. That's that you got on the train because, like, like all aboard, you know. Doesn't matter when people get into this stuff, like I'm so stoked, and I know Aaron, we're so stoked that like X-Men is back.
Yeah, you know. I know, it's so exciting,
it's so right crazy.
Just
like I didn't grow up with the show like at the time,
yeah,
but it feels like a part of me has, and I'm just like super super excited about it because I have two older brothers that are millennials, so we all grew up with 90s shows, early 2000s shows. So whenever there's something that I grew up with that's making a comeback, it's always super hype for me.
Oh yeah,
oh for sure. Is it safe to say you're Gen Z? Are you a Gen Z?
I'm like borderline Gen Z because I was born in 99, but I kind of grew up as a millennial almost because my two older brothers.
Yeah.
And I'm the youngest, so I kind of attach onto those stuff easily. So yeah. I'm like borderline, I would say.
Okay.
Officially, scientifically, I'm Gen Z.
Scientifically.
You were raised science by has the nothing good to stuff.
Do. Yeah. Science has nothing. It's not in our genes or anything. It's fine. Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. X-Men kind of skipped Gen Z, you know? And like, X-Men didn't make as much of an impact in the last, you know, 15 years.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that we're talking about it. And like this show, were you excited to hear that this show was being made?
Yeah. And it was like, what, 3 years ago that we got that announcement? It's so crazy how that has gone by so fast. And now we're finally here. We're on episode 6, 7 coming out this week.
Right.
It's insane. We're almost done with the season.
Oh
yeah.
We're almost to the 3-part finale, which is scary.
Yeah.
I've been dreading it.
Yeah.
This whole time.
I mean, this episode is Life Death Part 2. Then we have Bright Eyes next week or tomorrow. And then we have a 3-part Tolerance is for Extinction.
Yeah, but it's like a mashup of E is for Extinction and another comic.
Maybe like Operation Zero Tolerance.
That's it, yeah.
You know, if we're judging by the names. But
that's what I'm judging it's gonna be.
I'm done trying to predict where the show is going.
I know.
You know?
I totally thought episode 5's story was gonna be the season finale. I did not expect season. Like what?
Right into the heart, in the middle, like a mid-season finale. That's what you do. Like,
yeah.
I never expected them to just go right out with it. Like, in my biggest imagination, I would have. I was like, I hope they do Genosha because it's a big storyline. But I don't know if they're gonna do Genosha because it's a big storyline.
Yeah,
and they went for it mid-season, and I was like, okay, we're doing this, and they didn't even wait for the end of it for us to wait, but I'm glad they didn't wait for us to get the aftermath. Like, that is one thing I am low-key happy about, because I'm like, I need to see what happens by the end of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. All cliffhangers, these episodes.
Yeah, that's... We will get a cliffhanger in the final episode, I'm sure, right?
100%.
But I feel like what I like about this and, like, other shows will sometimes do this. They'll do something so huge in the mid season, and then we get to see the aftermath and see how all the characters are dealing with it. Instead of waiting, who knows? Waiting a year till the next season, 2 years? Mm-hmm. Like, who knows? But I'm glad that we don't have to wait to see that aftermath of such a huge event.
Yes.
Because that's the more interesting thing, is to me. Like, although episode 5 is great, I can't wait to see what comes next from this.
And Bo said the 3-part finale is even better than episode 5.
What? How?
Like his own words.
Yeah,
he said like the 3-part finale is like his baby, basically. Like that where he put his like whole heart and soul into. Like, you thought episode 5 was crazy, just wait
till the finale. I'm so scared. Like, I was already. If you guys had saw, I recorded myself go like watching that. If you had saw my visceral reaction to everything happening as I was screaming the whole time, it was like I watched a horror movie. And it was, I was satisfied that I watched it. It was horrible, but it was a great horrible, you know?
Yeah, I was crying at the end. I was
Yeah,
sobbing.
it
And
was
I'm glad we got
rough.
this respite. I'm glad this week we got a little respite from, you know,
Yeah.
devastation, and we kind of got like we got a little bit more of a devastation, but you know, we got a different devastation, and it was a light moment
Yeah.
for like a second, and then everything just, you know, flew off.
Let's talk about this episode. Now,
Let's talk.
it's weird because this is episode six and it's Life Death Part Two. Episode four was Motendo and then Life Death Part One. And so I didn't know what to expect from this one other than a continuation of the Storm storyline, but we got this Charles Xavier storyline in this as well, right? Shout out, by the way, to anyone who is watching us on twitch.tv/thekeegshow or youtube.com/thekeegshow. We got chats over there. The chat that we bring in, our main chat, is our Twitch chat. Vulcan Blue says, "I'm here, number one Steph cosplays fan." Was that your
I
old
know that
username?
person. I know that person. So it's not uncommon for him to say that.
Yeah. Was your old username Steph cosplays?
It was. I mean, it still is, I think, on Twitch, but I need to change that because it's kind of died out.
Okay. All right.
That's the old me.
Well, it's funny because like we've been doing podcasts for a long time. It's been a long time since I've had you on, but like I can't remember the first time I had you on a podcast.
Yeah, it's I think back in like 2022, maybe.
Probably, yeah.
Like it's been that long. It's crazy.
We got first time chatter out there, Drizzy666 saying at Vulcan Blue, calling out Vulcan Blue. No, that's actually me, pal. So, you know,
It's safe to
people,
say that I know both those people.
they're throwing down in the chat.
Yeah, they always do.
We're here to talk about X-Men, and we got Life Death Part Two, which is essentially half of it is Charles Xavier's story and half of it is Storm's story. So, Steph, I will give it to you. Which one do you want to talk about first? Which plot line?
Let's talk about Storm.
Okay, let's talk about
I
Storm.
love Storm's episode, part of the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to I have to go it went back and like it went back
Yeah.
and forth, right?
Yeah.
Between the
I kind
two.
of like this way better. We kind of get like a little like respite in between both of them, but they're kind of still both connected in a way because they both find out at the same time by the end of it.
Yeah.
And also the meaning to both their stories is also the same. Like there's a theme
Yeah.
between the both of their stories. So that's nice to see. I like that better than
It
the
is
Motendo
actually.
Life Death one because that was like first half and second half. And
Yeah.
if there's like supposed to be a message between those two stories, it kind of should be intertwined. But I
Yes.
honestly think that Life Death Part One could have been its own episode easily.
Yeah.
But
Honestly,
I think
yeah.
the way they did it this time, I think is much better than how they did it before.
Yeah.
Big facts.
Yeah. Going back, I mean, with Life Death Part One and Motendo, it wouldn't have worked if it was like going a little bit, like back and forth, because it'd be
Yeah.
like Whiplash, because they were two different vibes. There was two
Yeah.
different
Yeah.
tones,
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
true.
But this one, I'm trying to break down comparing the two plots. One is about like a personal journey, magic, Earth, you know? And then the other one is very space, science fiction. What's the commonality? What's the theme? By the way, symbolism, the two plot lines.
I saw what you
X.
did. I was like,
What's the
X.
crossover of the X of the plot lines? You know what I mean?
Right. I think like it kind of both deals with letting go in a sense, kind of for both of them. Like,
Okay.
especially with Storm, starting with Storm, it starts off with her letting go of the notion that she is a hindrance to her people. Like, even one of the lines she says is anytime, like, what is it? Like when she tried to use her powers, he feels like it causes more fear in humans than it helps, than in the world. And with Xavier, it kind of goes with the same thing, but him is letting go of being the leader and being, and just always wanting to help his students. Like it kind of like through the Lalandra process of him, of the struggle of him wanting to, you know, get rid of his memories and everything going forward, it kind of falls into a where can you let go of this thing and trust that, you know, these people will, you know, take care of the legacy that you left.
I think that's a pretty good explanation of like one of the themes of the episode. I think, you know, I was just thinking about the show as you were saying that, and I feel like another connection could be, so like Storm by the end finally accepts her adversary and becomes who she is. And I feel like Xavier kind of at the same time accepted that he's not meant to stay at the Shi'ar. He's accepted who he is as a mutant and someone who's supposed to fight for their people. And he's also like, he has opened his eyes to who the Shi'ar actually are. And I feel like Storm has opened her eyes to this new version of herself as well. So it's kind of like, they're kind of like the same things happening to both of them, which is pretty cool. And we're seeing that side to side.
Yeah. I wish that, because back when I was in high school, back when I was in school, they didn't accept these stories as like true, like literature or whatever.
Right.
It was a common problem. I can talk for hours about how the school system let me down in that respect. But like, it's funny because like on TikTok, like people are putting out video essays on YouTube, TikTok, whatever, about like the thematic stuff that you know, these shows kind of, you know, show us. And the fact that like we're digging deep, like we could write an essay on it and like hopefully your high school English teacher will accept it. But like, wouldn't it be cool? I don't know. Anyway, my point being is awesome. We're getting down. We're using the tools that we learned in essentially high school English to kind of like break down this media. I think it's about like finding your place in the world, right? Like, who are you at your core being? And Storm is on Earth, but she's very isolated. And Charles Xavier, though, is very, it's like expansive. We're dealing with an empire here, right? Like dealing with the Shi'ar and whatnot and the themes that come with that. And both of them are about like giving up who you are. He would be giving up his memories and she's giving up her powers, right? And his memories are his, like, it's not his psychic powers, but like, it's very mind, right? It's like in the mind. And so I think it's almost like giving up who you are and denying who you are in order to fit some other purpose that's not yours, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, real world issues that we see where like people in minority groups, especially LGBTQ, they are told that they can't be who they are because it's not the social norm, right? And so there's a lot of points in X-Men 97 where we see these real life stories brought into animated form and they're teaching lessons, whether you're a kid or an adult who already knows this stuff or just learning about this stuff, or a kid who's just learning about this stuff. Like we saw in Motendo where Jubilee she turned 18, she had to finally grow up. And when you grow up, you finally see what the world really is like. And it's heartbreaking for yourself, right? Because you were just a kid yesterday playing video games at home with your friends or whatever. And now you're finally seeing what the real world is like, and it's a scary place. So, so what you're saying about, you know, not being accepted for who you are, being one of the plots of this episode, that's exactly how people in minority groups feel every day, especially LGBTQ. There's a lot of LGBTQ messages in this show, which is very, very important for X-Men and for our current state in our world.
What's also interesting is, and I don't want to get into the Xavier plot just yet because we'll stick with the Storm. But Xavier brings up a lot of like talk about colonization. There was a lot that I like wrote down notes for.
Yes.
But we'll get to that. I'm just, you know, for anyone out there.
He hit on that one.
Yeah. Watch anyone watching this or listening to the podcast, wherever you get your podcast from. You know, stay tuned. We'll get to that. Let's talk about Storm, the adversary, and Forge. Now, Vulcan Blue brought up the adversary's voiced by Storm's voice actress.
Yes.
Yeah. And she did an amazing job. Allison Smith came to slay, and she is collecting her dough. She said, "I'm collecting my check from Marvel, baby."
Yes.
She is pulling everything, and like, I love her.
I heard it the second she started.
Yeah.
I love it when media does this. Like, they don't say outright, like, a actor is playing two characters or whatnot. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if you guys know, like, you know, like Peter Pan, the character of Hook is the same character as Wendy's father. Like, whether it's on stage or in the cartoon, it's the same design. Wendy's father is Hook.
I never knew that.
Yeah. So like, but they don't like scream it from the rooftops. It's just something that like, on stage, when you see the stage play, it's the same actor who plays Hook as her father. Supposedly in the movie Hook, the pilot of the plane is the same actor as Hook. Like, because it's a little bit different. It's not about Wendy. It's about Peter's story. So like little things like that. I love the idea of like people playing two roles that is, it's like symbolic, you know?
Yeah. And she, the fact that the adversary is, Storm's listening to it as her voice, makes you think, is that for every person who encounters the adversary? Like if Rogue encounters her, is it going to be Lenore's voice? Or like the Cyclops, you know, same thing? Like it's scary to hear your own voice coming out, especially like a demonic version of your own voice coming out of a creature.
I literally was thinking, I was like, it's a creepy version. Like halfway in her first monologue, I was like, is that her voice? But in a creepy voice. And then as it was going on, I was like, I love this. And I would love the idea of it just being whoever like it preys on, it uses the voice of their greatest fear or their like, you know, their most inner negative voice kind of.
Yeah, the inner demon. Kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's their own voice, because they're facing their inner demons. So of course, gonna be from inside them. That it's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, we just unlocked something here.
If they ever do, and I'm not really a big fan of this villain, but if they ever do Onslaught was the combination of Xavier and Magneto's psyche put together into one like ferocious psychic being. Right. If they ever did that, they would take, I'm sure they would take both voices and merge them.
That would be crazy. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I would love that.
But they wouldn't let you know that that's who the person is. You would have to like figure it out. Like, that'd be super cool.
That would be really crazy and like terrifying to hear.
Yeah. Yes, right?
Yeah.
Because to hear them like in a deep, both of them together in a deep, like slow voice, I feel like that would be terrifying.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I would low-key love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Storm and the adversary is telling Storm that she doesn't fear. Oh, cause Storm says, I don't fear death. And the adversary is like, I know that you fear being alive. And it's like, I don't know. It's the greatest, like it's not a twist, but it's like the greatest like thing for Storm. Cause Storm is always so powerful and so confident. And the idea that she is afraid of living.
And she's afraid. I think the adversary also said, like, she's afraid of who she is. Like, she said she'd wonder what it would be like to be human, right? And the adversary points that out, saying, you know, you are afraid of who you are, that you'd rather be human and just not care about anything or just live off the grid, you know? When being a mutant and being on the X-Men, there's responsibilities that come with that. And you have to accept that, unfortunately, especially in the world that you live in. So it's another message of like accepting who you are, which right. was great to see and for Allison to perform as both characters.
Mm-hmm. The adversary calls when I noticed this, the adversary to Storm calls the X-Men her monotone family.
Monotone family. I called that. That was one of the things I wrote down as well.
What is that? What is that?
That has a lot of meanings, honestly. like it's a very heavy one. Like, honestly, it could be referring to, you know, them all being a monotone, or just referring to all of them living by one accord under, like, you know, under Xavier's banner and not, you know, following under, you know, what they believe in. Like, I like that. I like that. I did like the moment, that moment where they did talk about her not accepting herself, or because you can see, you could even see her not being or being scared to live, because you see it in the way she even talks to people and the way she, like, the way she speaks. Like, it's the, like, her reserved kind of mannerisms and, like, how she doesn't really let go. Because, like, even in the comics, like, she's the same and she doesn't really let go until we get to Japan and, like, she has her, you know, fly by the way moment, you know?
Yeah. I took it as a diss at first, the yes. whole monotone family thing. And I got super defensive on my end, because I'm like, the X-Men's not a monotone family. How dare you? They are like, don't come at the X-Men like that. You can talk about the Avengers like that all day long.
Oh, 100%.
You know? You know, you can talk, like, diss the Avengers, because, like, where are they? They exist in this universe, I'm assuming. They don't show up for Genosha.
Nothing.
They nope. never show up for mutant stuff. And that's how it's always been.
Please just have them, like, show up on a news screen of them from their back and, like, going to see Genosha or something. They can't just, like, not do anything. That's always baffled me every time I see that.
The Avengers are, like, classically, like, sorry, I wish I could have shown up, but, you know, I got caught up with some stuff, you know?
Yeah, right. They're like the privileged group.
They're so privileged.
Yeah.
That's why, like, when the X-Men show up in the MCU, I know which side I'm gonna, like, the Avengers can go,
right?
You know, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
You know how popular the X-Men are gonna be when they come into the MCU and, like, all this, like, hate and bigotry gets thrown on the big screen, and you're like, fuck the Avengers. Sorry, yeah. I swore.
But okay.
Like, no, you can swear. That's you. Fine. Fuck the Avengers. unless, my only thing is, unless the Avengers have, like, a really cool lineup, like, there is a cool lineup I will accept. For example, like, when it comes to, like, Wakandans and mutants, I'm not going to talk trash on Wakandans, you know, like, so if Shuri is in the Avengers, I'm not going to talk smack on her, right? Like,
right,
if Shang-Chi's on the Avengers, I'm not going to do that. But, like, the classic, like, Tony Stark lineup, right, I'm going to be like, where were you?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
right, you were not shooting us with us at the gym. No.
Yeah,
now, like, Tony speaking Stark of Wakanda, I've been hearing theories of, like, listen, if Genosha got blown up, Wakanda's next, because Wakanda ain't that far.
Wakanda, though, but I feel like they're, like, they know enough.
They're not
about
mutants,
Wakanda,
though. That's not.
They're not. But doesn't, like, Namor, like, doesn't he basically blow up Wakanda? I mean,
he floods it. I mean, so, like, yeah. In the movie, of course, he floods it. But in the comics, during the AVX storyline, Avengers vs. X-Men storyline, Namor floods Wakanda. But, like, Namor's on the X-Men side, kind of. Like, he's part of the Phoenix Five at that point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I don't know what they're, like, that's a separate thing, right? But I don't know whether Wakanda needs to get dragged into this. They're over there being like, whoa, we didn't do anything. We're not.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, there's also in 97, so, like, we don't know what's going on. Like, Wakanda is still not known, actually, in 97.
Yeah.
Is it?
They still think it's a third world country at that point.
Well, we don't have any information about Wakanda in this continuity, right?
No, in this continuity, they just say that it's just like a, they always like frame Wakanda as a third world country, and it's not really.
When did they bring up Wakanda in X-Men?
They don't really bring them
I don't think they've brought them up
No,
yet.
well, and you mean in X-Men? No, in this continuity,
In this
no.
continuity,
Yeah, no.
Well, okay, my
We don't
bad.
know.
Okay. No.
You know? We only have
But
like
in the trailer,
hints.
we saw Captain Marvel's Captain America's shield
Yeah, because
at the
Captain
end.
America has
So,
been in an episode,
yeah.
not in this
So
season.
I mean, obviously, this is a different universe than the main timeline, but
Yeah.
they do exist. But I'm not
I would
sure about
assume.
Wakandans.
Yeah. I would
Yeah, I would
assume.
assume that like they are just not like recognized as a
Just.
strong country that's been hidden away.
Right.
Right. But here's the thing,
Exactly.
though. They do mention it at the end of the Storm episode, or the Storm storyline, is when they turn on the TV and they see that, you know, all these things have happened. They mention that other countries won't accept mutants back. Like
Yeah.
after the Genosha, this huge massacre, other countries are like, no, you left our country, so like we're not gonna have you back.
You
You
good,
know, good
right?
riddance. You know,
Stay
sorry, not sorry.
over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind
That's
of what they did.
wild.
They like, yeah, bro, like nobody, like that's crazy. And
Yeah.
you would think
It's.
like, no,
Sorry,
go
go
ahead, my
ahead.
bad.
Go ahead. No, I was
Go
going to
ahead.
say it's kind of like refugees, you know,
Yeah.
especially
Yes.
refugees coming from Africa, because we see that in the news almost every day.
Yeah.
There's like these tiny boats trying to escape Africa. So it's almost like the
Yeah.
same
Or
thing.
Syria, Syrian
Right. Or Syria,
refugees,
yeah.
right? I mean, there's a lot of we in our Earth, we have a lot of refugees to go
Right,
around.
right.
You know, we're
Yeah.
not we don't have a shortage of refugees, right? And
Right,
you know, countries are
exactly.
always like, no, how about we don't deal with them? Somebody else can deal with them.
Yeah.
And I don't know where these mutants have to go after Genosha, because if other countries aren't going to let them in, like who, you know? New
Right.
Zealand. New Zealand is one of those countries that might, because New Zealand's pretty
Right.
cool, you know?
Yeah.
But
Right, you
like,
have a lot of space. They're cool. They'd be cool with it.
New Zealand's pretty cool. But like,
What
but
they
again,
charge
it's
more
not
for?
just that they're refugees. It's that, do you want to be bringing in superpowered refugees?
Yeah.
You
Which
know? you would think, like, you would want the superpowered people on your side. Like, you would, like, all this animosity. I'm just like, I would think that I would want the people who have the powers to be on my side. I wouldn't want to antagonize them, right? Like,
Yeah.
it would only make sense to me, but you know, maybe it's me,
Or
maybe it's different, guys.
you just hope another sentinel drops on them, and you know, then you don't have to bring in the refugees, right? Like that's
Right.
they're gearing up towards like an evolutionary war. That's what they've been talking about, right? In the show. They mention it on the TV, and it's like, I'm
Right.
sure that's what these countries are waiting for. They're just like, at a certain point, maybe the mutant problem solves itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole tolerance is extinction. That's what it's all leading up to. So,
Right.
right. Right.
I'm so curious on where everything goes with this, because at the end of this episode, we see Bolivar Trask run
Yeah.
in, and then Sinister, you know, he's someplace. I guess Sinister
Right.
kidnapped him, used his DNA to unlock Master Mold, and to send that Tri-Sentinel to Genosha.
Yeah. But like,
But
is Sinister really the one behind it, or is there another brain?
I mean, I don't
I'm
know.
hoping it's another brain, and I'm hoping that there's another villain that they
I
show.
feel like it would just kind of be a cheap shot to just bring Sinister back and be like, oh, he's really
Yeah.
bad. I feel like there's somebody
Yeah.
deeper and bigger that
That.
is on top of this stuff, you
Yeah.
know?
Yes. Well,
It could be Apocalypse, because like Sinister and Apocalypse have teamed up before, so
Yeah.
it could be one of those.
I mean, it depends on what the next episode's about, because it's called
Yeah.
Bright Eyes. And we had some theories last episode when we had N'Keal Clayton and we had Michelle Waffle on the show, talking about our theories for what's to come. We were talking about, is there somebody in Genosha that betrayed Genosha?
Right.
I have one pick, and that's Moira.
Oh, you think
And
they're
I'm,
bringing in the
I
Moira
thought so too, and I
storyline
was like, but I was like, you
now?
don't do that one.
I don't think it's the it's they're gonna do the Moira storyline from Krakoa. I just think they could do a Moira storyline where she is a just a bad guy.
And not a mutant.
Yeah, they don't have to like overdo it because like this cartoon streamlines a lot, right? They get rid of the extra stuff and they streamline things. And I don't think they're gonna go that route, but they could go the route of evil Moira.
Well, they could, or they could go the route of Mystique, because we know, I mean, like, it's gotta be pointed out already, or like, it's been theorized so much that what's her name?
Val Cooper.
Val Cooper is Mystique. Yeah,
Yeah.
100%. Do you have you seen, did you see
She
her
was over the
reaction in
top.
episode 5 to like some of this stuff? Like, that is so Mystique. So it could be her, because we know that she'd do something like that where she'd backstab her own kind, right?
I don't think she would. I don't. The only theory I
I
see
think
is
she
what Michelle said last episode. Michelle said it could be that she betrayed them, not knowing the extent of the betrayal. But if you
bad.
see
Could
Val
be.
Cooper during that whole thing, like she's trying to help people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, you're
Mystique,
right.
isn't about genocidal like mania.
No,
Like she's not there
I
to kill all the
feel
mutants. She's there to survive herself. But I don't think she's
you.
out there to kill a bunch of people.
Yeah, I think she may have not have done it intentionally. I feel like it's one of those things that just like they tricked her into doing it kind of moments. And like in the comics, she has actually impersonated as Val Cooper like for a long period of time. So like it could definitely be. I'm hoping it's a Cassandra Nova moment, but I'm like, that's wishful thinking. But I thought Genosha was wishful thinking too, so I don't know anymore.
Anything's possible with this show. I love it.
Really, and
Anything.
you
And
can't
I'm
like
here
theorize
for it.
anything, because like whatever you
Right?
theorize, it's going to be completely different.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Aaron, you remember when we were like, what do you think Remember It is going to be about? Like when we were thinking of before episode 5, we were like, oh, maybe it's a
You
Wolverine-centric
mean when we were
storyline
completely wrong?
dealing with his memories,
Right? And I was like, it's a Jean Grey. No, it's going to be Jean Grey remembering everything. And you mean the moment when we were both completely, absolutely wrong about it? Yeah, I remember happily.
Who
And I
knows?
just, who knew that my devastation, I would have been abhorred of what I saw. And it was a remember it that I will definitely remember.
I knew from the jump, from the title, that it was going to be a Gambit episode, because that's his line,
What?
remember it. And then also
Oh.
Bright Eyes being Cable, because he's been mentioned as Bright Eyes multiple times. So I was like, okay, that's definitely a Cable episode. But remember, I thought it was gonna be like, a cool Gambit episode. He got to go on like his own adventure or whatever. Maybe Rogue tagged along and they did like some
Thoughts.
like Mr. and Mrs. X type of shit. I don't know. But
Yeah.
like, no, they all blew up.
Yeah.
Hey. She lost both her loves. Like Rogue
But we
couldn't
don't
get a
really
break.
know. I don't
Rogue
know. It's
can't
not
catch a
confirmed.
break.
So
Like,
I have a theory about like
yeah, that part too. She still got a consolation.
I don't think Magneto's dead. I do think Gambit is dead. I
I
do
don't think
think
he's
they
dead.
both
Yes.
will come back.
Told some ghosts. Yeah, for sure.
I think they'll both come back. I just do think that Gambit is dead, but Magneto's not.
It could be that Leech kind of saved them last minute. And also, I've heard that Gambit, not heard, but like people theorizing that Gambit might not return this season, but he will be back next season,
I think
which
so
could
too.
be,
I'm cool with that.
it'd
Yeah.
make a lot
Because
of sense.
Nightcrawler being in the opening credits on the team, I
Yeah.
love it. I love
Loved
it.
it.
I
Loved it. So
loved it.
much Nightcrawler love.
I
Broke my
also,
heart, but I loved it.
I love that version of Nightcrawler as opposed to like weird monk Nightcrawler. Like, I don't want weird monk Nightcrawler, but Nightcrawler with two swords and like teleporting everywhere. I love fuzzy elf Nightcrawler.
We love a swashbuckling moment.
I don't want Matthew Murdock
Yes.
Nightcrawler where he's just a tortured Catholic and he's just like, oh no.
Yes. Oh man, why aren't they friends? Like they should be best friends.
I think they've hung out a
We should
couple of
write a
times, but
letter.
it's nothing crazy.
We should write a
Like
letter. They should be best friends, guys.
best friends?
Okay.
I think Matt Murdock's too much of a downer.
But I feel like he will be just, or Kurt will be just what he needs. Like
You're
he
right.
could
Opposites
definitely be
attract.
like, I mean, right, him and there's a reason him and Logan have been friends for so long. Like,
Yeah.
Because they both like beer.
I mean,
That's literally in
for sure.
continuity. Is like they
And they're what the kids used to call poon hounds. So
Yeah.
no, yeah. So yeah, they I can see it, but I feel like they would be Toast and Goat's like best buds.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Xavier storyline in this, which is how this episode starts off, right? It starts off with the Shi'ar Imperial Guard versus the Kree. And I love the Shi'ar Imperial Guard. I've loved them for so long. The Shi'ar Imperial Guard
One
are
of my favorite
like
aliens.
the I love the Shi'ar as like an alien empire. Like the Kree are the most boring alien empire. To me, it's all about the Shi'ar, then the Skrull, then very low is the Kree. I don't care a damn about the Kree.
The third.
How do you guys feel?
I'd probably list that the same way.
Yeah.
That's
That's
Yeah.
pretty fair.
For sure. Shire are definitely like okay, so how do we pronounce it? Because everyone
Shi'ar.
I do I kind of alternate Shire like Shiar and Shire. Like I alternate every now
They
and
say
then.
it on the show multiple times.
Yeah.
They do. But like in multiple like shows and iterations they pronounce it different. So I'm
I
like
mean,
it depends on I guess the region. I don't know.
I get it. I say the Crimson Gem of Cytorak, but everybody else says Sidorak or
Yeah.
whatever. Like I say Cytorak. That's just
Yeah.
me. I get it. I get it. Just Shire
Yeah.
sounds too much like Shiera from Justice League.
Shire. Yeah, I do think that too. I always
So
think that
maybe you're mixing up different aliens,
That
you know?
I do instantly think of her when I
Shiera
say
of
it like that. Yeah.
Thanagar, different. Different
Right.
universe, different everything.
And I feel like we were very disrespectful because we never talked about the iconic moment when Storm transformed into her black
Oh,
outfit.
okay.
And
Yes.
I feel
Why I
like
started
ashamed of
talking about
us. Like,
Storm.
I feel really ashamed because I even tried to alternate it back to it at one point too, but then we got caught up
Okay.
into another moment. And
Look, she
I
says
just.
to heal our adversary, we must embrace it, essentially, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And yes. And
She,
we.
yeah. Sorry.
She used the
Oh.
feathers from the adversary to create that black suit. Like, if
Is
that
that what
didn't
happened?
play, yeah. So people, somebody said it like on Twitter or
That is
something.
what happened, yeah.
And then Bo replied to it saying, yep, that's exactly my intention. I was like, all right, writing. Oh
All
shit,
right, we are
writing.
here for it. Okay. All right, metaphor. Okay, action. I was here for it. I like she grew her hair back out of nowhere, and I'm glad that's
Yeah.
a trick that she can just do out of nowhere. And we get the iconic moment of the space and with the outfit. I was just like, this is what I never expected that we would get that outfit, but I was here for every single moment, and I'm
Yeah.
like,
That's
ugh.
her
I find it
original.
funny.
That's her original outfit, right? Giant size
The
X-Men
classic.
outfit. Yeah.
That's what makes me think. I feel like we're gonna get like the giant size X-Men team. You
That would
know?
be so fire.
Nightcrawler,
Oh,
Colossus, not Banshee, because Banshee's dead.
R.I.P. Well, I just remembered, like, as I was thinking of the roster, it just like.
Cyclops, Wolverine, Banshee, Colossus, Nightcrawler, Storm. We haven't seen Sunfire. So Sunfire, I don't know where
We
Sunfire
saw him
is.
on Genosha. He was
Is Sunfire on
in the
Genosha?
original in the ro original X-Men. He was a slave
Oh.
on Genosha, remember?
He was.
So we
Well,
might see them
and then
and Thunderbird technically.
we see Thunderbird in Motendo, where
Yeah. Yeah,
they
they
show a flashback.
or not a flash, it's part of the digital thing, right? It's like
I mean, it's the game, but it's a flashback of Jubilee's life. Yeah.
Yeah, so like and then Banshee's dead, but like
Yeah.
that's my
That's
favorite
funny.
lineup. Like I love the giant size X-Men lineup and the
Yeah.
team that came out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know,
That's the team that made
we
them what
might
they are.
see that though. Like I kind of think that, you know, with Gambit dead, Magneto, if he is dead or not, I feel like some of the X-Men, especially Rogue, is just gonna like kind of get out of there, you know, be alone for a while and just find herself, you know? And then we're just gonna have giant size X-Men take over. like Nightcrawler is going to come to the mansion and, you know, Colossus is going to come in somehow and we're just going to have the giant size X-Men line up.
I mean, which would be pretty nice, cool. But like, I think Magneto's gone. Xavier comes back. That fills that. Yeah. And then Nightcrawler fills the Gambit like slot. And like, we're back to the same amount of characters, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But you know, you guys can talk about Storm some more just real quick and I'll be back.
Okay, what I find really funny is of course all day I could talk about her all day, but what I find really really funny is that like she's going off on this adventure, right? Forge is back in the cave dying.
Like
she's had riding a whole with the horses flying with them.
Yes,
out into space. Forge is dead back like, there. Okay,
he is comatose, baby, and you're sitting here flying with horses, like having a good giggle. Like, and although I love that for you, but as she got home, I was like, oh dang, it's nighttime, and you just gave him that medicine. That's crazy. Like, you really had you a good little like time. Like after that, like I bet she forgot. She's like, oh shit, and then like flew back. It's like, oh wait,
really forgot. Hey. Like, right. I was dying over there. Like, right. Not that you just spent like months with this man and fell in love with him.
Your man is dead, baby. Like it's over, and now we're just sitting here. But you got a new costume out of it, so right. But you got a new costume out of it, so like I think like it's a win-win for everyone. I mean, know, you got your powers back. You know, he can be the desert love that you like. And shout out to the glyphs that they did on his magic, his little like Doctor Strange moment. I was like, this is kind of cool. And they like personalized it to like having Native American glyphs in it. And I was like, this is actually kind of dope. But I was like, I like the personalization they put into that.
So like, it makes me think that since really that good. Was his mother's book, did his mother learn magic at Kermitage? And so now she has the same magic as like Doctor Strange does and pass that down on to Forge. And not a lot of people know this, but he does
like
have mystical arts. He knows that. It's very like minimal that you see, but we got a sneak peek at that in the episode. And the fact that they, you know, I think his mother kind of took that sorcery back with her and that information, she kind of made it into her own where it could represent her native language and heritage, which is really really cool.
Did that like especially like because I know they said like she studied desert magic, so I don't know if it's like because I know that a lot of us like follow, I mean I know a lot of them follow different magics, like especially like Dr. Voodoo has like a similar kind of thing, but like it has like a different like insignias in them as well. Like you see like the difference within it. So I would like that like she would have like learned her magic and cultivated her magic like in Comitage and then like came back and like did like a little like and was like the mage or not what was it? A shaman of the of their we were talking about Forge's magic and like how it looked like the Doctor Strange moment, but like also personalized to like have like Native American like insignias and everything in it.
You're saying how maybe like his mother probably learned that magic at Kermitage and then brought it back with her and then kind of put some Native American influence onto it, or maybe she like maybe there was like a passerby, you know, and she learned from them like or something.
I don't know. I don't think all sorcerers especially not in the comics, but like all sorcerers don't have to go through the same route as Doctor Strange, right?
No.
They all, like, it's kind of like how we don't need to get into it, but, like, I hate J.K. Rowling's idea of how American wizards are, and it completely, like overrides, like, the fact that, like, there were native magicians. There would have been native wizards and witches, right? Like, sorcerers. Before like Harry Potter people came from England over here to colonize, right? So I feel like the magic, it just ties into like the same source, which is like the magical well.
Can see that. I could definitely see that, like, and in her like cultivating her own magic through it, I would love that. Like but yeah, it was a nice, I did like that little, like, I would love them to do some more Forge magic. Like, we don't get a lot of Forge moments, you know.
I'll be but, honest. Like, that
go ahead. Go.
You said that moment. What?
No, I was talking about the end moment when Storm saw what happened to Genosha.
Yeah. I don't like magic in my X-Men. This is something I've talked about in past podcasts.
Yeah.
I don't, I like certain characters that are magical when that's their power, but I don't like it when Storm knows magic. I don't like it when Forge knows magic, and it works in this, in these stories. Like, he dabbled in it just to get rid of the adversary, right? But the idea that, like, Forge is a man, he's a man of science, he invents things. Why do we have to add, like, magic to it? Like, at least Storm, like, her weather is borderline magical, but, like, it's her power, right? Why does she need magic?
Yeah, totally agree. I like the fact that they're just born with what they have, and they use that and embrace it, and, like, just putting some other stuff on top of it, just, it just ruins it.
Right. Like, imagine if Cyclops learned magic.
He's no. Like, no.
You know? It's like, why would he need that? Why, you know?
See, I'm actually the opposite. So, okay, I don't believe that everybody should just learn magic. Like, I feel like that's a certain thing that I agree with you on, the fact that I feel like if it incorporates with their powers, or if it works with their power, then I feel like that's the way to go about it. Or if, you know, there's a, like, you know, of course, like, someone loses their power, they learn magic, blah, blah, blah. Now, that's a good, like, way to go about it. But I feel like, there's, like, Excalibur and, like, in comics like that, that I absolutely love. Like, reading Apocalypse create mutant magic, like, I did actually like that.
I totally forgot about Excalibur until you mentioned that. And now I want to take back everything that I said.
Excalibur as well. When you bring up Excalibur, I double down on the fact that I don't like magic. I don't like King Arthur. I don't like King Arthur bullshit. I don't like this, like, British centric, like, magical world. I don't like it. So when they do that with, like, Captain Britain, I don't like Otherworld. I think it's British. Otherworld. It's, like, Anglo-centric. And, like, Anglo-centric magic is the worst magic. I'd rather have Greek mythology.
I mean, for sure.
I'd rather have, like any other culture's magic. British magic?
I mean, Toast of a Gold.
Magic up some good food. Start there.
I mean, I get that. But also, the stuff that happens in Otherworld is great. I look here. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I first watched Charm. Maybe because I'm gay.
Yeah.
I love magic shows. I love magic too. Anything with magic, I'm going to fall for. And like mutants and magic, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm a mark for that. Like that. Like when they put Excalibur up, I was like, yeah, they knew who they were targeting for.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, Vulcan Blue. Vulcan Blue says Romani magic greater than, and like, yeah, great.
Yes.
Like that like cultural magic is so much better than, like, I don't like Otherworld and Captain Britain and like Merlin. Like, why do I need Merlin? Like, this is X-Men. The M stands for mutants, you know?
But he's a villain. In this, Merlin's just is a villain who just, you know, and they just have to take him down sometimes. Or did they decide when they want to make him a villain? You know, whenever
Or they just ran out of stuff, was like, let's just use real magical stuff from England.
We're getting sidetracked talking about the one thing I don't want to talk about.
We're talking about mutants and magic.
All right.
I'm sorry. Let's talk back time, about Charles and Xavier. Yeah.
For the sake of time, we got to hit this hard. Charles Xavier, he's out there. He's the royal consort of Lilandra. And Lilandra says some, like, cheesy ass shit where she's like, you may know him when he did, you know, protected us from blah, blah, and Daken and the Macran crystal. But his greatest feat was, like, me falling in love with him or some
conquering
bullshit.
My heart.
Yeah, it was like, no, you didn't. That is so cheesy.
I like guys, babe. That was gay.
But right then and there, I was like, Xavier, go home. Go home.
Get out. But on the flip side, you know who I love? Deathbird.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people really like Deathbird.
She is so catty. For someone,
she is.
For someone evolved from birds,
yeah,
she is catty.
She has a lot to say about someone's Milky Way ghetto for a bird culture. All right? Like, she had a lot to say about simians. I'm like, babe, aren't they better than the a bird? Like, I don't know. I was like, oh, I think you're kind of throwing stones in glass houses, aren't you?
I mean, I think it really reflects like what Charles dealt with on Earth is just expanded here. He's not like genetically superior per se, like he is, but he's like there. He's not part of the empire. He's the outsider again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's saying how like they don't want to mate with your kind.
And money and up the blood
like
or whatever.
Even like lower, said, right? I forgot what the words she used, but it's like even lower than like
lower
regular
caste.
Humans. Lower caste. Yeah. Like.
Yeah, she's a lower caste human. He's not, even
like
a
not even like.
He's not even a pure Terran or something like that. Right?
Yeah. Like even the belowest of Terran. Yeah. Like she. Like, they're mutants. Damn.
Okay. Right. We're evolution's next step, baby.
Yeah.
Literally.
Well, I'm sure. But here's the thing. We're dealing with the Shi'ar Empire that prides itself on conquering and assimilating other cultures. They would say, if mutants are so big and bad, how come they haven't taken over Earth?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know?
That's true.
Yes.
And they're the representation of colonizing. Like, they are the...
They
colonists.
Are.
And they go deep in this episode.
Yeah,
the
they
Shi'ar.
Do.
Yes.
Especially when Xavier starts his lesson.
And we talk about the cultivation of other cultures and everything. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, even before he goes into his lesson, he's talking about Shi'ar and Khi'Thri, I believe. And Khi'Thri.
Yes. Shi'ar and Khi'Thri.
And he's talking about that with Gladiator. Now, the thing about Gladiator and the Shi'ar Imperial Guard like maybe some people know, maybe some people don't, is that each planet in the Shi'ar Empire gives their strongest, most powerful warrior to join the Shi'ar Imperial Guard. And
did not know that.
You didn't know that. So that's why
no.
Gladiator is a Strontian.
It makes so much sense now why they're all different.
Gladiator
is
based on Superman.
Right.
And all little known side fact is that all the Shi'ar Imperial Guard are based off of Legion of Superhero characters.
Jesus,
from DC.
Up,
oh my goodness.
So you'll notice that they're
that
like Saturn
sense.
Girl, Lightning Lad, like all those characters have a Shi'ar Imperial Guard double.
Yes.
Oh
so,
my
I've seen
god.
Them all.
Yeah.
I gotta like look at them side by side now and just like.
So like, what's his name? Good. Wolf. There's a wolf guy. I forget on the Legion of Superheroes. He has Timberwolf. Timberwolf on Legion of Superheroes is Fang from Shi'ar Imperial Guard. And so Superboy.
Oh my god.
Superboy is technically Gladiator, even though he's a man.
Gladiator.
But it's Superboy and Gladiator. Anyway, the point being is Gladiator's a Strontian. All of those other characters, they all have different powers because they're all from different planets in the Empire. They've been given that status of Shi'ar Imperial Guard to serve
Thank
the Empire.
You for that. Like, I can't tell you how, like, that just opened my, I'm like, because all this time I'm like, they're Shi'ar, but they look different. But that makes so much sense. Oh,
yeah.
I'm bored. Okay.
Yeah.
And so they're literally peak assimilation, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are like, yes, we are all Shi'ar, just like we are all Roman. Roman was like an identity, not a blood, like, bloodline. When the Roman Empire was, right? Bow to Rome, you're a Roman, as long as you serve Rome. Shi'ar is very much like that. And so they talk about the assimilation, and what's really cool, this is just a side thing, is that Vulcan Blue has a zipping mouth shut emoji. What's that in reference to? Xavier brings up Rudyard Kipling. So Rudyard Kipling is the author of The Jungle Book, and Rudyard Kipling was British, and this is dealing with British colonization. Rudyard Kipling coined the phrase, he either came up with the phrase or popularized the phrase, the white man's burden. And the white man's burden is that it is white people's essential duty to go out and tame the savages and domesticate savages and go to other cultures and teach them the ways of England to better their lives. It is their purpose. So he brings up, and it's such a good line, that Kipling is one possessed of many burdens. All of them were wrong or something like that, he said. And so like he brings up Rudyard Kipling in this to compare essentially British Empire to Shi'ar. And like, I thought that was super cool.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what's cool about this show is, it is they don't spoon feed you.
Yeah.
They give it to you right off the bat.
They throw a pie right in your face. That's what they do.
Yes.
And they're like, eat it up on your own time.
Right? If they're going to give you a good monologue and you're going to be like, okay, you said that. All right. Like even the part where Charles says to them, even now for me, he said, even now you think for me to be more, you have to be less. And he said, why is that? Yeah. And I was like, who came up with that? Us, my beloved. And I'm just like, yes, and eat. And like, I was just like, I was like, he's only speaking. The fact that he convinced them at all, like to open their mind to it, was crazy. And
open their mind to
the idea. He was opening up to. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, you're saying like getting them open up to his theories and his ideas, right?
Right, exactly.
Because it was a forced classroom, sure.
For sure, for sure. He said classes in the session, and I was like, yeah. Because honestly, he was saying the same thing I did. I was like, you're forgetting that you like are a telepath. And he's like, I forgot what my greatest gift is. Hold on, like, I got you guys. Classes in session.
He just went back to what he knows best and slayed.
I love that for him because I'm going to be honest. I don't always fuck with Xavier. I don't always do that. Like, but in this episode, I'm like, this is the Xavier I like. I would have preferred him dead, but the fact that he is a progressive teacher makes all the difference. Cause it used to be that Xavier was like, hey, we should like Xavier classically chooses humans over mutants because he's constantly like, he's like, let us belong, let us into your establishment. But this Xavier, Xavier doesn't fuck with that.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I've seen a lot of people saying like, this is the Xavier that we want, you know, like not the Xavier from the comics that was like, you know, kill him off because we can't deal with him anymore. Like, this is the one we want.
Right.
And I hope like he stays like this for a while. If they're going to do a switch up on him at some point, let it be far from now. Please. Yeah. I'm enjoying my moment here.
Yeah.
Like, I hope that we get a more like a mutant focused like Xavier in him. Like, especially like since we've got, I think his big thing is though, was letting go. Do you guys think that Lalandra was right for asking him to do that? To let go of his memories altogether?
I think
no.
I don't think it's right, but I do think that she is, like, in her head, that's the only way they can be together. So if the goal is for them to be together, he has to go through the rite of Mdasha, right? So, like, that's the only way.
Mdasha, right.
So that part's correct. The only way they can be together is he does this.
Very true.
But then the question is...
It was just the way she reacted to it.
Is it worth it?
Like,
yeah, exactly. Is it worth it? And like, honestly, because you have to also remember that these things, these memories that you're asking me to take away, this has made me who I am, and it has made me into the man you love. So taking something so fundamental from me could like result in a whole different shift that you don't even know about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But also, it gets to the point where like, even forgetting like his team and forgetting Magneto especially because that's his like best friend, and I don't know how I would feel if I had to forget who my best friends were, you know, like
some kids say they were
shaped as you are,
you know.
Yeah.
Who knows when it comes to Xavier and Magneto, they could have been best friends, sure.
Yeah.
They were roommates, guys.
They were roommates, guys.
Totally, toast my goats. They've been roommates for years.
Well, at least Xavier thinks that they have the potential to be best friends more, or like brothers. And he still has that in his mind where it's like, we can get to this point. I don't want to forget who you are because I know we can get to this point.
Well, it gets to the point where like she's like, renounce your X-Men.
Yeah.
Like renounce, which is like a very loaded word. It's like, you know, renounce like your X-Men. It's not just like forget about your X-Men. It's tell me they do not matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was where I was like, okay, you're kind of stretching it. Like,
yeah. Like and, all you've worked for, forget about. That's insane.
Right.
Your whole life building up to this, like, and especially like his whole life on Earth. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really quick before we get going, Vulcan makes an appearance and they don't mention him at all.
Yeah.
Do they say his name?
Yeah. Vulcan? They say his name. Yeah. They say his name at the very end, but they don't like explain.
Which I love. It's giving the most recent season of Young Justice where they show Red Hood.
Yes,
what we think is Jason in a mask, mm-hmm. but they don't like mention much about him at all. And like, because it's like, we'll pick up later.
Right. I love that. I love that little Easter egg. Yeah.
So before we get going, Stefania, what do you hope happens? You have any hopes or dreams about the rest of the season? We've got 4 episodes left.
So as far as the next episode, Bright Eyes, I'm hoping that we get Cable. I hope we get a story of Cable from when he first went to the future as a baby and what happened after that.
Yeah.
And like kind of a story of him growing up
with
and
Bishop?
Getting to the point. Yeah, yeah. And then by the end of that episode, we see him going back to Genosha and warning them. And maybe we get to see like multiple attempts at that, because it looked like he had multiple attempts where he's trying to go back and warn them, but if they failed each time. So by the end of the episode, I'm hoping we see him going back.
Yeah.
But depending on like how that goes and how many times he goes, you know, is it going to work out? Is he going to fix everything? I don't know. But I would love for it to start off as Cable as a baby going in the future and picking up where that left off.
Like, I'm getting emotional just thinking about something. It would suck, but it would be so beautiful is if Bishop raised Cable the whole time and died. Like, he became old, right? Like, he was his father. I don't know. Like, we don't know what happens in the future, but like...
Oh, yeah. And raised him as his father, that would be...
And raised Cable as his son and grew old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was the last we saw Bishop. I don't want that to be the last we saw you, Bishop. I'm just saying,
I want
like,
that to be the last, but I would. But love
wouldn't
that
be bittersweet?
Yeah,
it would be bittersweet.
Yeah,
but also, Bishop is taking Cable to the future, to Forge. We know it's Forge because it's somebody that is very like I forgot the words he used, but very techie and smart. So I'm assuming it's Forge, right? Because we see him in the future. He's like older
exist in the future. He does
in the 90s
in Bishop's future.
Future,
he remembers him.
I'm assuming that's who he's bringing Cable to, because he'll know how to get the virus out of him.
But like, Cable doesn't come back, you know what I mean, until later. Young Cable's chilling in the future doing who knows what. And we don't know where Bishop
is. Like, son moment?
You know?
Unless, like, he's been in the background and we just don't see him. He's like,
love to see that in the episode. Next episode.
Yeah.
You know? Let's see. What's really cool about this, the way this season is structured, I never thought it would be structured this way. The big crazy thing happens in episode 5. We get episode 6 and episode 7, which all take place at the same time. Including episode 4, right? Episode 4 takes place at the same time as episode 5, right? Life, death, Motendo.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's all during Genosha. Like, this is all the same time. And then we start moving forward with Tolerance's Extinction.
I didn't think about it that way. In Motendo, right, that morning of Jubilee's birthday, they go to Genosha.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I did not know that. Oh my.
No. That's not. They don't go to Genosha then, because I thought they go to the UN meeting for Genosha.
Oh yeah, they're at the UN meeting.
To
not Magneto and Rogue.
Because
go with them.
Scott and Jean go. Yeah, because Scott and Jean go there.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the point being is roughly the same amount of time, right? Like.
Yeah, but no, yeah. It's like within a few days. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, because I think Jubilee's birthday was like, I don't know, like a month prior.
Is it?
I don't know. I thought I like heard it in the episode.
It has to be enough. Because,
or like a few weeks at least.
Because Storm's gone at this point, and she was there on her birthday. Yeah.
Storm was not there on her birthday.
No, she wasn't there on her birthday. Because that was like
Storm left
part
the
one.
Team the previous
right. Episode. You're right. Yeah. You're right. Oh yeah. God.
You know? If not so, two, and like, two
Storm,
episodes. Yeah.
Storm has been with Forge for a while, we know, because I think it's been established based on what she said and how close they've gotten that she's been there for a while. So I want to say like a few months have gone by, maybe a little
longer.
That's
the span of like episode three, Storm's gone, right? Like we don't know like what this timeline is, but like episode three and whatever is in between episode three and episode four, that could also be a time jump, right?
Yeah.
So
how long does it take to create a country, guys? like you know, how long do we talk to the UN and just be like, okay, now go ahead? Like, you know, what's that process?
Before we get going, any final thoughts that you guys have about this show, about what's to come?
Oh,
I'm just here for the ride. I'm not gonna predict anything. I'm just gonna like I got my like my things,
like,
but
yeah.
My wildest like wish thing came true, and I regret it instantly now. Like the Genosha thing is what I kind of low key wish they would even like talk about, and then it happened. So now I'm just like, you don't need to ask for anything else. You just need to sit your ass back and just enjoy it, because you don't need to manifest any more atrocities into this. Just enjoy the ride, and I'm okay with that. But I do think that it might be that Cable thing, guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think Bishop's going to raise Cable. I think I just remembered a moment in X-Men where like Cable says like to Bishop, "You don't know me yet," and I'm like, could that be because he
like a dad son thing?
Yeah, like right, you don't know me yet, but you're going to know me, Dad.
Yeah.
And like why?
Yeah,
and body size by one. You know, I would manifest that. I'm going to manifest that. I'm just going to manifest it.
You know.
I could say the same thing. Like, I'm just here for the ride. I don't want to theorize anything. I'll like read the theories if I scroll by them on TikTok or you know whatever. I'll like listen or read them, but I kind of want to just chill and enjoy what's coming up.
I'm loving this. This is a good time. This is in the whole scheme of like X-Men properties. Like, this is just the prologue. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much more X-Men stuff to come.
Yeah,
I'm
and
so excited.
Literally they're greenlit for season 3. Like, that's insane already.
Yeah.
Right.
I can't wait.
Already.
I can't.
But then that makes me think like, okay, you have a season 3 of X-Men 97. There's no way you can top X-Men 97 in live action. Like,
well,
unless you have the same writers.
Thing. It's a different
It's a different thing, but like I feel like, you know, it's like with, I got to compare because I just watched this show, Avatar The Last Airbender.
Right.
The cartoon is always going to be superior than the live action show that came out on Netflix, right?
And I mean, yes, but also I don't think, I think adaptations are only worse than their original if they don't do something new with it. And X-Men and comics, you can always do something new, but like. The Invincible cartoon versus the comics, they're different things and they're both amazing. The Walking Dead show, before it went too long and it went kind of past where the comics were great and The Walking Dead was great. Mm-hmm. And dare I say, and I won't dare I say, because the only comic that is trash is The Boys. The Boys comic is absolute garbage. I will hate it till I die. I will never recommend it to people. I would say people don't read The Boys comic, because it's the trashiest shit I've ever read in my life. The show is great.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an adaptation even better than the original source material.
Yeah.
You know?
I think people are mostly thinking like, well, you just got to have the same team that worked on 97 to do live action. Because I feel like you're going to, especially because I read something that Bo had written a Bible. He wrote a Bible full of all X-Men stuff. He literally wrote everything about the show, the concepts, the design, the astounded, like the costumes, character development, all that, and like his book. And someone like that needs to just hone these characters and take them on a journey.
We'll see if Poe comes back, you know? But
yeah,
who knows?
Right.
All I know is in a live action X-Men, maybe there's a different lineup, you know?
Probably.
To tell different stories, maybe we see a different group of X-Men, which
maybe
I'm
we see Johnny Size X-Men.
You know?
Yeah, that part, right.
I'll tell you guys next time the lineup that I would want in a live action X-Men, but we're gonna have to end the we'll end this here. I want to thank both of you so much for coming on this episode. Aaron obviously as co-host and Stefania obviously as our special guest for this episode.
Thanks.
I want to thank people out there in the chat, whether it's on twitch.tv/thekeegshow or youtube.com/thekeegshow. Shout out to Vulcan Blue, shout out to John Ski, shout out to Drizzy 666 who just popped in just for one chat, and that was cool too.
He does that.
Shout out to anyone who's watching us live or listening to the podcast, wherever you get your podcast from: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon Music for podcasts, and SoundCloud. I think those are our platforms now. Shout out to everybody out there. Stefania, where can we find you? What do you got coming up? Anything you want to plug?
Yeah, y'all can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. On Instagram, I'm at Stefania_Sasano, and Instagram and, no, Twitter. Twitter and TikTok, I'm at Stefania Sasano. I'm also on YouTube. I have a few videos y'all can check out there, same name. And as far as things coming up right now, I mean, I'm just kind of going with the flow. I've been working a bit, you know, with my contract shop that I have, and trying to do as much social media stuff as I can. Also trying to get back into background acting. So I'm doing a little bit of everything. And I'll be going to a few cons this year. One of them being New York Comic Con. So
awesome. I'm planning on going to New York.
Nice. Last year I had a great time. It was my first time there. So this year I'm hoping, I went like by myself last year. So this year I'm trying to get a group together. I think I do have someone or people in mind to try and hang out with or meet up with. So
all right, cool. Yeah, thank you so much for
I'm trying to go as well, so you guys might see me there as well.
All right. Aaron, where can we find you? What do you got coming up? Aaron.
Of course. So you can catch me at King Krakoa on TikTok, Twitter, and Discord. You can also find me on Instagram at King of Thrones. And of course, as always, I do a podcast called Life Rants podcast. So you guys check that out as well.
Awesome. For anyone out there who wants to follow me personally, follow me at This Is Dimitri. I'm going to be on a game show, Person, Place, or Thing on Fox. Check your local listings for what time, because it's different depending on the POC station. Other than that, you can follow The Keeg on social media at The Keeg Show. On TikTok and Instagram, those are our two biggest ones. We're also on Facebook, Threads, Twitter, Patreon, that sort of thing. At The Keeg Show /The Keeg Show. You can find us pretty much anywhere when it comes to that. Find a comic shop near you. Get into X-Men comics. You know, if X-Men's your thing, if, you know, whatever else is your thing, find a comic shop near you. Go to comicshoplocator.com and support your local comic shops. There's a new X-Men 97 comic that's out right now. It's a 5-issue miniseries that takes place in between the two seasons, and issue 2 is out right now, so the first 2 issues are out if that interests you. That is pretty much it. This is the X-Men 97 after show. Obviously we do this every week when new episodes come out, so definitely stay tuned for that. TikTok and Instagram are easiest ways to do that. We got comic talk every Thursday. We got the Keeg talks on the weekends. We got a lot of stuff. I'm gonna be at C2E2, which is Chicago's Comic-Con, coming up this week. Actually, it is this week, so I'll be going to Chicago for that as well. So, you know, stay tuned for some content for that. That's pretty much it. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. Thank you guys so out there so much for watching and or listening. Once again, I'm your host, Dimitri Pereira, and this has been the X-Men 97 After Show for Episode 6, Life Death, Part 2. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.